Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soaring with the Eagles in Leadership and Excellence with your host, Misty P. Long, Director of Devoted to Him Ministries. Devoted to Him Ministries is committed to winning the lost and building up the body of Christ through broadcasting the Word of God with fire, faith, and power, teaching all nations and lifting up the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today's message is designed to help you grow in every area of your being. Through the devoted lifestyle, we can all win. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. James 5:16. And now, Devoted to Him Ministries founder, Misty P. Long.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. I'm so glad to have everyone on the broadcast today. And, of course, here in the Devoted to Him Global Ministries family, we're very honored to have Stephanie D. Moore as our guest. As you will soon find out, she is a dynamic leader. I initiated meeting Stephanie around 3 years ago. I happened to run across Stephanie's signature on one of my relatives' Facebook pages, and I really liked the title of her page, That PR Chick. I thought that was unique and interesting, and then her page layout really drew me in. So I started inviting Stephanie to Devoted to Him Ministries events, and that's how we met. And both myself and my vice president immediately found Stephanie to be a very humble, charming, and engaging personality. I had a relatively small team, and we were just starting out. But Stephanie, with all of her stature and power in the community, when I called and she was able, she was there when I asked. She was there, she was on time, she was professional, and willing to fellowship with us. So this impressed me immensely. I could see that Stephanie was not looking at how large my group was, but the treasure and value within us. Well, anyway, I've been a fan of Stephanie's ever since. I could go on and on and on. But I'm impressed with so many things about her, the savvy she has with the public, the height and depth of her vision, both her professional business vision and her charitable vision also. And again, I could go on and on. She's a great role model. She's a person with a heart of gold. And we are indeed in for a treat today. Now, the topic of our show is the wisdom to succeed. And, of course, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. We've already quoted it at the head of this show. King James Version, which is probably the most well-known version of this verse, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Message Bible quotes it this way. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. And then the Amplified Bible puts it this way. The reverent fear of the Lord, that is, worshiping Him and regarding Him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But arrogant fools despise skillful and godly wisdom and instruction and self-discipline. So anyway, we just give God the glory, the honor, and all the praise today, and we expect Him to show up and bless all of us. So, Stephanie, why don't you go ahead and briefly greet our audience, and then we'll start talking about what the Lord has given us to converse with today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I give all glory and honor to God. He's amazing, the head of my life for sure, and it's just an honor to be here. My name is Stephanie D. Moore, and I am the owner of Moore Marketing and Communications. We are a small business that helps other small businesses play with the big boys. We do that via public relations, advertising, marketing, web design, and graphic design. I'm also an author. I've authored several books, an autobiography entitled Echoes, and several devotionals. Finally, I am the founder of Teen Leadership and Etiquette classes. One is called She's a Boss. A Boss is a Beautiful Oasis of Success, Style, and Elegance. We help young ladies ages 12 to 17 just learn more about nonverbal communication, grammar, formal dining etiquette, get professional headshots, education, entrepreneurship, and economics. And then we also do the same thing for young men in a teen leadership and etiquette program called Grindaholics Young Men on the Rise. And I want to just formally apologize to your listeners. I am en route. I'm traveling. As you know, when you are in business, you end up moving around quite a bit. Today is not a work day for me. However, it is my Sabbath. It is my Sabbath. But I am picking up my daughter, so I apologize for if you can hear me in the vehicle. So I just want to make a formal apology about that. So.
Well, you sound wonderful, Stephanie, and as I was sharing earlier, I can hear you good, so I know our audience can hear you. And, of course, you know, once you get settled, we'll be able to hear you even better, and, you know, you're able to get off the speakerphone. But you sound wonderful, as always, very articulate and very well-spoken young lady. So we're just going to move right ahead here. And, of course, the first thing I was going to ask you is to tell our audience who you are and what you do. And you've already, you know, taken care of that. And so what I wanted to ask you next was, when did you know that your place in the world was owning and leading a company?
Wow. Well, to be quite honest with you, I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I've always wanted to be a spearhead of change and make a difference in the world I live in. But I think that it became obvious to me when I was working a corporate job. I worked for a television station right here in Oklahoma City, and I just felt uncomfortable sitting behind a desk. I felt like there was so much more that God had placed in me that I could do in the world. And I love my job, you know, because without the corporate positions that I held, I would not know how to function my business properly in the space that I'm in. And so I'm very thankful for every experience God has given me. But that was when I knew that it was time. I knew it was time to start my own business, or really to be focused on my business as opposed to working in the corporate arena. I knew because I was just uncomfortable. It was just a knowing in my spirit. It was time to get out and I guess own my own voice.
Yes, yes. Well, we know, especially out in the with the boom of social media, that's the great quest for a lot of people. You can kind of see sometimes. I don't know if stumbling around is a good word, but you can see a lot of people trying to find that voice. And then you kind of know when you find someone who has found that voice. You can tell. So it is something that is very sought after in the day and age that we live in. And as you've already expressed, that voice is very necessary to being able to focus and get where you need to get. And you've already touched on it a little bit. Did you want to share a little bit more about, you talked about working in the corporate world, what processes that you had to go through in order to learn the things that you needed to succeed? Were there other things in addition to holding the positions out in corporate America that processed you into being able to have the confidence and the ability to step out on your own and make it work?
Well, yes. Early on, when I graduated from high school, and I was married right out of high school. I got married when I was 19. I had my first child at 19, and so it was I was in the world for sure. And I started my career path in customer service. So I was a manager at Little Caesars for years. I worked at Hertz Reservation Center as a reservation agent. So God started me in the area of customer service, or just meeting customer needs in a unique way, a way in which they'll appreciate you. And so it was really about developing beautiful relationships between the companies that I serve and their clients and their customers. And so this is how God, you know, started me in my career. It's the foundational part, I think, of any company. Customer service is the number one aspect of client retention. You know, being able to serve with efficiency, being able to hear your client, and being able to do what they need done in an efficient and a pleasing way. It's not easy to always do it in a pleasing way, but it's possible. And so I think that, you know, God taking me down this path of customer service early on in my life was critically important, you know, and like I said, a foundational principle of my career. Now, I was blessed to go to a wonderful technology center here in Oklahoma City. It's Francis Tuttle Technology Center, and it's hands-on learning. And that's where I learned graphic design and internet technologies. I learned how to build a computer from scratch, you know, and I purposely did the internet technologies so that I would not have to purchase so that I wouldn't have to hire someone to come and fix my computer if something happened to it. I wanted to be able to fix it on my own. And the blessing is, you know, here we are, you know, 15, 16 years later, and I'm still able to do that. So that's a blessing in itself. So, you know, going to get the proper education for the direction that you'd like to take is important. And I discovered that I loved graphic design while working at Hertz. I was working a graveyard shift. And I used to draw pictures for everyone at work. And one of the young ladies that I drew something for, you know, she said, well, you should go to school for graphic design. And and almost the moment she said it, I knew she was right. That's exactly what I needed to do. And so that was my next step, was going to Francis Tuttle and getting that education. And Francis Tuttle opened so many doors for me. So it was amazing. It was amazing for me. So, you know, from Francis Tuttle, I went to work for News 9 as a graphic designer. And then from there, I went to work for a national magazine in Atlanta. Well, actually, from News 9, I went to work full-time for Francis Tuttle and then to a magazine in Atlanta. And so the higher up I went in business and on that business model that rung, the better and more experienced I became in handling customer service, not only with our clients, but within the corporation itself, you know, with the managers, with the other employees. And so it allowed me to move up in management and manage others. And those are relationships that I still have today and that still bless me.
Awesome, awesome. Wow, a wealth of knowledge. And I know as you were talking, it just showed how important the layers, L-A-Y-E-R-S, the layers are in life. You know, a lot of people when they're starting out at entry level just hate it so much and they're disgusted and, you know, they just can't wait to move up and, you know, so forth. And you're just talking about the importance of actually learning from the ground up and enjoying the journey at every level as you come through, because I can see that when you walked in the doors of Devoted to Him Global Ministries and I met you, you know, and started getting to know you, that's the first thing all of us that were just meeting you noticed. There was an aura that came with you. And as you're explaining your journey, I see that it was the, you know, you started out learning how to serve and learning how to connect customers with the company and how to please people and put people first and make sure they're satisfied. All those different things, they attach to you. You know, and as you go, all those qualities bring a certain element to your overall presentation and image, and really just your character and who you are, so that even as you matriculate out of the entry-level workforce, you're bringing treasure with you from the things you learned in the trenches that you would not have learned if you immediately skyrocketed to being a business owner. All kind of rich things there. So I really hope that encourages someone that might be frustrated or feel they're in a dead-end situation or they don't like the fact that they're at McDonald's or at Little Caesars or at the call center or whatever. You know, they need to enjoy that. because they're learning the basic rubrics that are in really setting the foundation that's going to cause their life to grow in the direction that it needs to grow. That is awesome. Now, what about mentorship? How important? Some people say, I never had a mentor, and I still fulfilled my dreams, and I found my destiny, and I still lived in my purpose. Other people say mentorship is essential to being successful in life, finding people who are doing what you want to do and establishing those relationships, being around them, humbling yourself, and being taught by them. What is your take on mentorship, and what type of mentoring have you had in your journey?
Wow. So I feel like, you know, if I fast forward to the destination, which is where I am today, of course this is not the end of the road, but it's where I see what I see where I am today. I am a Christian business owner, and I definitely intermix faith and wisdom in my business. And so for me, I have had two different types of mentorship along the way, and that is from specifically from Christian leaders that serve, all people, and then you have business leaders that also serve all leaders, and they both look at the end result in different ways, in somewhat different ways, which makes being a Christian business leader a complex thing, but a beautiful thing. I've had some wonderful sales managers specifically that I worked with at the television station. Sales is an aggressive position, and being a sales manager, you cannot succeed in that position without hitting numbers. The numbers are so critical. And so if you're not meeting the revenue goals of a company, you are quickly moved out of that company in the position of sales management. And so we did have somewhat of a revolving door in our sales manager position at the television station I worked for. But it blessed me. At the time, it was somewhat frustrating because you were always being acclimated to new leadership. So that in that way, it's somewhat frustrating. But the blessing is I had the opportunity to work with, I feel like, some sales and marketing giants. One person specifically, his name was Harold Patterson, and he we were like oil and water when he first started because he's a short guy, you know, and he's really sweet, but he was also a shark. And so, you know, I'm aggressive myself, and when I really set goals, I aggressively obtain them, you know, and not necessarily by any means necessary, but I don't take no for an answer. If the door is shut, we'll climb over a wall, we'll jump through a window, we'll do what we need to do to make it happen. And so he was the first one to, I think I was a sales assistant at the time at the television station, but I was handling all of their advertising, their outdoor advertising, but I was also making sales calls as well. So I was, you know, making commission. And he promoted me to a marketing coordinator at the time. He said, you know, you really have the skill set and the insight to help us develop marketing, and I want to promote you to marketing. And I said, okay, yeah, that's great. So that came, you know, the position came with a promotion, and that was nice. But, you know, he said, as the marketing person, there's a conflict of interest. You cannot sell as well. And so the commission from sales was lovely. And I was so mad. I felt like, you know, like he tricked me. And so I was so this is why we were like oil and water, because I lost a lot of income losing that commission. And yes, I did get the promotion, and it honestly changed my career path for the rest of my life, which is amazing, which is why I own More Marketing right now. You know, before I had a graphic design company, it was Live to Grow Designs. But it transitioned into More Marketing and Communications because of his influence in my life. And I think I also was a member of an organization at that time, PRSA of Oklahoma. It's Public Relations Society of America, and it was the Oklahoma City chapter. And he said, well, if you really want to join an organization that will change your life, you should join Toastmasters. And I was like, I already don't trust you all the way. So, but you know, over time, he showed that he really had a genuine, honest interest in helping me to grow. And so I joined Toastmasters. It was every Thursday night, 6:30, one of the best chapters here in Oklahoma City. And they taught me how to speak publicly. This is what gave me the confidence to speak publicly, because that was something I did lack. I lacked the confidence to go in front of a room and speak confidently about who I am and what is on my mind. They taught me to be prepared to speak. You know, they taught me to be innovative and quick on my feet. So it was a great group. I think the first 6 weeks I was in Toastmasters, I cried myself home because I knew that I had not mastered public speaking, and you're in the room with people that just know how to speak eloquently and let it flow. And I knew that I had not mastered that. But after about 6 weeks, I learned, and I ended up, you know, winning Best Speaker Awards and things like that, which is a big thing in Toastmasters for you. It's a great confidence booster as well, and helps you to succeed in business and in your personal life. So, so I would say that Harold Patterson was definitely one of those business mentors that truly blessed me and truly helped me, even though I was pretty upset with him. Other managers that came through, Cherie Greason, I'm trying to think of this other guy's name that I absolutely, he's Mr. Orange Power. He's going to kill me because I can't remember his name, but he was amazing too. And he, and you know, oh, what is his name? I know I can't think of it, but let me tell you, he taught me how to go in and sell. He really taught me how to sell, because when he came in as a manager, I got my commission back. So that was, you know, this is, you know, it's funny because God will have you sit down and focus in specific areas. And even being a sales assistant helped me to understand the importance of ratings, television ratings, and how small business owners buy versus how agencies buy. And you learn how to speak the language. You learn how to read the numbers. You know what works for your clients. And I needed that. So, you know, this is why I say the corporate job really blessed me to have my own business. And this is the part of the equation that I call the wisdom, you know, because God gives you wisdom to run a business. He wants you to chase after wisdom and to make it your best friend. And but you can't, in my opinion, you cannot be successful in business without faith. I mean, there are some people that will tell you they can, but there's a certain way they believe, there's a certain way they speak, there's a certain way they walk. And their faith is different than my faith, because my faith is totally and critically dependent upon God, upon Jesus Christ. And so for me as a business owner, this is a core foundation of my business model, is to have faith in Christ and to lean and depend on him, not only for my success, but for my client's success as well. I take all my clients before the Lord. I pray about everything that I do with my clients, you know, and so I'm not at all trying to pretend like I'm perfect, but I serve a God who is, and that makes all things wonderful and great, you know, and I'm still learning, and so it's still a growth process for me, so, but definitely that was business mentors. Those were my business mentors. I've had some pastors and some spiritual leaders that I still call on. I call my prayer warriors. Prayer warriors that have taught me as well. You know, Pastor Kenneth Morgan is a wonderful pastor, and I call on him every time I feel like I have something important in front of me and ask him to pray for me. But seeing him as a father and as a minister and as a shepherd of his church, and he makes choices that aren't easy to make, and he stands by his decisions because he knows it's what God has called him to do. That, to me, he's a spiritual giant in my life, you know. There's a pastor, Charles Odom, in Atlanta. When I had my personal issues, because I've had my own personal demons before I got to this place, you know, he was there for me, and he let me, he shared God's love in a way that many people refuse to. you know, a lot of people sometimes when they see you in trouble, they'll walk right past you and, you know, shake their finger, shame on you, and keep it pushing. But he stopped and said, no, I'm not going to let you keep walking down a path I know is not going to bless you. I'm going to help you. And that to me is what Christianity is supposed to be. That is the love of Christ that we should see, you know, amongst Christian leaders. And so for me, having these spiritual giants in my life, you know, even down to the importance of strategic prayer, which I'm a strong believer in strategic prayer, being very specific about what you are asking God to do, and then also calling him and standing in agreement with his word, just saying, you know, Lord, I know you promised me this, and I know you promised me that, and in your word it says this, and you quote those scriptures, you know, you quote those scriptures in the midst of your requests, and you repeat those prayers because it strengthens your faith. Your faith is strengthened by hearing the word of God, but also reminding yourself that I gave this over to the Lord. I don't know why I'm worrying about it. I don't know why I'm stressing about it because I already handed this over to him. It's his. I'm going to let him have it, and I'm going to be obedient when he tells me to move, and I'm going to move exactly how he tells me to move, you know, and those are choices that you have to make in your own right. So in terms of mentorship, I've had business and Christian mentors, and I feel like they were both required for me to run my business the way that I do right now. And I'm blessed to have them as friends and as mentors, as friends and mentors.
Wow, that is awesome. And, I think that I hear a lot about mentors. Everybody's personality does not readily lend itself to mentorship. I'll put it this way, everyone that wants to be a candidate to be a leader in the community does not necessarily have a personality that lends itself towards mentorship. And when that happens, that's something people need to pray about because you just said it yourself, that these people that had gone before you in these different areas in business or in the Spirit of God, they were able to take a hand and be used by God in shaping you and molding you in the direction you need to go in. And I'm glad you brought out, you didn't always agree, number one, with the mentor. You personally wouldn't have chosen. And then secondly, you didn't always agree with their style or what they were telling you to do. But clearly you stayed in your lane and stayed in your place and, you know, stayed humble and kind of just, from your perspective at that moment, you slogged it through by faith, you know. And truly, as time went on, in the big picture, you were able to see, wow, you know, God, that person really was God sent. You know, because a lot of people think, you're not my mentor if I don't personally approve of you or authorize you to be my mentor. Now, we can get mentors that we choose or, you know, that we select ourselves. They agree to it. We feel it's a good fit on our end. But there are some people that use some Bible schools you may be led to go to, some jobs you may be led to work, or someone under whose management you come under that you don't agree with at all. And a person who's in a mentorship position will a lot of times tell you, you don't have to like me for me to still be God's ordained mentor in your life. You don't have to like me. You don't have to like me. That still doesn't mean God didn't put me here for a season, for a purpose. So I'm glad you brought that out because, again, it goes back to wisdom. A lot of people don't have that wisdom. Okay? So it's just like parenting, right? A lot of teenagers will tell you, I wouldn't have picked this parent. But God made this person
right.
Your parent for a reason. In fact, the more you dislike them, the more powerful that parent is, right?
Well, I tell all my daughters, I tell them all the time, I say, well, hate me today, love me tomorrow, because you will remember when I didn't let you do this, and you'll know exactly why I didn't let you do it, and you will love me tomorrow for not allowing you to do it today. But you can hate me today, I'm all right with that. Hate me today, love me tomorrow. And it's some clients I've even had to say that to, you know, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, sometimes when you are sharing with them that there is a problem, a flaw in the business model or in the way their perspective on certain things, they get upset, you know, because people, we work really long to develop processes, and sometimes it's hard for us to acknowledge that it isn't working. You know what I mean? You know, it's just like for me, you know, I have the She's a Boss class, And we host classes here in Oklahoma City. We've hosted classes in Tulsa. We've been to Atlanta. We're going to Dallas next month, you know, and it's not all, I don't always make a profit at every class, and I had to really look at the way that I was offering the class and make some strong and some stern business decisions. We just launched a coloring book that we've given away to young ladies in the Congo, to young ladies in Atlanta, to young ladies right here in Oklahoma City, and the coloring book is now for sale. But part of me creating the coloring book, A, was definitely to answer the need, because there's a definite need for the coloring book, but B, because we needed to offset some of our expenses and have a source of income that was back-end income that comes in all the time. So these coloring books are $10, and, you know, schools can hire me to come out and be a motivational speaker, and the book is part of the package. But part of that is me looking at how I wanted to serve and what barriers were keeping me from serving with excellence. Because you can serve, and then you can serve with excellence. And so, you know, for me, I had to take, you know, had to take a step back and look at my business model and say, okay, there's something broken here. It's time to fix it. And that's hard to do when you love what you do. It's hard to say, well, there may be something broken here, and I really need to fix it. But as business owners, we learn that learning process, that breaking, it only blesses us. In the end, it blesses us. And it's the same thing with, you know, working a corporate job. When you have that mentor that says, hey, I need you to step back and not sell so you can focus on this new promotion that I gave you because I want you to do it with excellence. And then when you learn and you master this part of it, then you can get your sales back. And that was really more of a God thing than I would even say for that mentor. That mentor was operating in his knowledge at the best of his time. And then, you know, as I grew and I understood and I learned and I applied what I knew, then another manager can come in and say, okay, well, I trust you to do both. You can do both, you know, and that's something that we grow into. And God does that for us for specific reasons to help us become all that he has created us to be. And that's a prayer that I pray as well, is that, Lord, help me to be everything that you created me to be. Not some of it, not a little bit, but let me be everything that you created me to be. I don't want to leave any of the blessing that you have placed on my life on the table. I don't want to leave any of that on the table. So if I need to get fixed, if I need to get checked, if I need to be, some things need to be pruned up off of me, then that process needs to happen. And I walk with God. Like, you know, I accept that from him, because that's love. Love is when somebody prunes something off of your life or corrects you. That's love, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree 100%. I agree 100%. And, you know, I know as me being a case manager at my job, I mean, we have weekly, daily goals. We have wonderful incentives that come on top of our salaries, you know, and I work for a very successful wealthy corporation, so, and I've been there 16 years, so my base salary is good, but then we get monthly incentives that, if you meet the goals, are nice. But we're constantly, we talk about on a weekly basis, you know, having to set goals, evaluate those goals. Like you said, if something's broken. And so you can imagine you have to get acclimated to that type of atmosphere where you're being critiqued, you know, you're being judged, you're being adjusted. You have to be very agile. It's no time for an attitude, because it's all about either you're producing or you're not. And a lot of people cannot survive in that department because of the grind, you know, because it never ends. Those goals are always there. But if you can acclimate to living at that level, you know, and you can find your stride where you're hitting those goals, know the mechanics of what you're doing to hit the goals every month, and be able to and have the type of makeup that you can have the energy to pump that out month after month. And every now and then you will have a bad month. But if you stick with it and you acclimate to it, out of 10 out of 12 months of the year, you're going to be making it happen, because you have the evaluation going on. You have input from two or three people over you all the time telling you, you know, you need to adjust this, adjust that. And you're right. When you're ministry-minded, when you're outreach-minded, you parlay those skills into how to, you know, because you have to learn how to prioritize. You have to learn how to juggle things. You have to learn how the whole management side of it has been a blessing. So, yes, and I think that a lot of people that are doing nonprofit work, when they have not had those type environments where they had to set goals and meet them and learn strategies and things like that, they have a lot harder time, you know, with being all that they can be for God, because it's more than just the spiritual. Jesus was only 12 years old, and you remember he got lost from his parents for 3 or 4 days. And when they found him, he was in the temple teaching the rabbis and the leaders of the day the wisdom of God. And his mother was just out of her mind, like, what, you're only 12 years old? How did you get away from us like that? You know you're supposed to stick with your parents. And Jesus very somberly looked at his parents as a 12-year-old preteen and said, wouldn't you know I'd be about my father's business? So spirituality and business are interlocked, and in order for either one to be the best it can be, they have to be joined together. So I appreciate you sharing that, because I know we have a lot of Christian people that are probably listening. Some of them also are business people. How the two intertwine and the importance of being a good steward. And, you know, one person, I'm not going to mention this person's name because they're a famous politician, but they even wrote a book called CEO of Self. So, you know, if I can't be chief executive officer of myself, how am I going to be chief executive officer, you know, over the nonprofit, over the business, over whatever, you know, set strategies and set goals. And it is not easy. What you do, Ms. Moore, is not easy. You make it look easy a lot of times, but we know it's not easy. Even as you're talking right now, you're about some of the complexities and the detail, breaking it down into the details of the mechanics of, you know, all the things that cause you to be able to be you. It is fascinating. And I'm sure without God and without prayer, you've already stated it. Even with your knowledge, even with your intelligence, even with your ability to learn on the job and on the spot, without God, it wouldn't come together in the holistic way that it is and that we know that it is going to continue to come together. So you've already addressed strategic prayer, faith. Talk a little bit about your Bible reading. And I noticed that you got a series you started within the last 12 months that you're running on social media, the Believe series, where you're sharing the Word of God daily. Tell us a little bit about how that came about in your heart and exactly what you're meaning to communicate with this Believe series.
Well, Believe is so funny because I started writing devotionals initially because I wrote this biography, Echoes, and it was it's controversial because, but it is, it's so real. It talks about my journey from choosing to live a life of sin into choosing to live a life of grace and holiness. And like I said, I am not perfect. I'm not trying to, you know, stand here and act like I am perfect. We all make mistakes, and we all do make choices that aren't pleasing in God's eyes. But I used to operate without an acknowledgement that God was sovereign. And this book, Echoes, kind of outlines, you know, the story of my life, how I came to be who I was, and what influenced my choices, some of the circumstances that I chose for myself and some that I didn't choose for myself, you know. But it talks about, you know, my journey into falling in love with Jesus. And that's the best way I can explain it, my journey into falling in love with Jesus. And so this book Echoes, you know, I let my grandmother read it, and my grandmother said, well, I don't know this, Stephanie. It was so funny. I was like, oh, I kind of felt bad because, you know, it's a very revealing and telling book, you know, and it's 100% real. So, you know, it can be a little overwhelming for someone that kind of looks at you from afar and they just see your accomplishments somewhat without knowing everything that you went through. And so the first devotional I wrote it really to prove to my grandmother I am a Christian for real, I'm saved. So that's why I wrote the first devotional, and that is called In His Favor. And it is what I felt at the time, too. It's not about obtaining God's favor. It's about recognizing that you're already in His favor. And so every devotional that I write It starts with a scripture, a base scripture. We take that scripture and go into context, like what that actual book in the Bible talks about. And then I tell a personal story that relates to the message at hand. After that personal story, I end that with another scripture, and I do the same thing. I put it into context, and then I have final notes and a prayer. And so that is a system that I developed where I started writing devotionals every day. Every morning I would get up and write a devotional and spend time with God. And so it's usually a 2 to 3 hour process. So it takes a little bit of time. So in between books, I take a break. But regardless, writing the books, I felt like God has really spoken to me, and he says, I want you to share a scripture every morning. He said, I want you to post it with your picture and just put believe. And so that is how that started. It's like a picture and a scripture, and it's hashtag believe. And, you know, I want people, I don't know why God had it so that I was posting a selfie every day, but that's what it was. It was a selfie every day. Maybe to know and to remind people that it was coming from me, because I think personal evangelism is better than just evangelism, but I don't know. I don't know why. That I don't know. But I do know that that's what he wanted me to do. And so, and then the scripture, because I don't want it to be my opinion of what God feels about you, because I, of course, have a lot of opinions about that, but I just wanted it to be, I wanted it to be his word and just his word. And because, you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God, right? And so I wanted to strengthen people's faith. And I know Facebook, I have business friends, and I have Christian friends, and I have family, and I have long-term friends, friends from my childhood and my past. And so not everybody is saved, but if they can see me, somebody that they trust, and hear the word of God, and just the hashtag believe, maybe they'll do some research into, well, I never knew that was in the Bible. Let me look that up and see what that's all about. You know, and so that's the inspiration behind the believe picture and a scripture post I do every day. And, you know, in 2017, I started to do that also on Instagram as well. And when I send, for me, when I send the emails to myself to post to Instagram, it's called Spark. And it's and that's what I feel like God wants to spark a flame in somebody's heart about his word. And so that's what it is, and that's why I do it. It's usually the scripture. One is the beginning scripture of the devotional. The one on Facebook is the beginning scripture of the devotional that I write, and then the one on Instagram is the secondary scripture that I use when I write the devotional. So it's definitely blessed me immensely. I've had a lot of people that may not even like the picture on Facebook. Like, they may not publicly like the picture on Facebook, but they'll tell me, oh, my gosh, you said when I'm having a hard day, I'll go and find and see what you are talking about, see what your scripture of the day is. You know, and I've had several people say that to me. And it's not, like I said, it's not always somebody that is going to publicly like it. You know what I mean? Because people still have a hard time being overt, proud, in your face, I rock with Jesus type. But that's because I know that God says, you know, if you honor me, I will honor you before men. You know, so you don't ever have to worry about whether that's going to bring you shame. And you sometimes we too smart for our own good because we think we know something, but we don't. So I have learned that, you know, it's not about getting honor from men at all for me. It's about honoring and being obedient to God because God has saved me. He's blessed me. You know, I was in a lot of trouble as a young adult, and God let me know that he loved me regardless of where I was and that he could save me, that he had all the power I needed. So now that's a mantra that I just believe. I have everything that I need. I have everything that I need. I say it all the time. I have everything that I need, everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Lord is my shall not want. It's real. That's a real thing. that's a real thing.
And you said something really powerful there when you just said a lot of times we think we know something and we don't. And, you know, something I picked up on years ago, and I don't know who was teaching, you know, just the, like you said, just the power, just one word can totally turn somebody's life around. I mean, you know, it don't take a whole book. It don't take a whole paragraph. Just one anointed, penetrating word can just totally revolutionize someone's being. But it's clear to me that we know what you know by what you can produce, you know, because knowing is not a mental assent. Knowing is not intellectual absorption and comprehension. You know, you can have an IQ of 160 and be able to regurgitate everything the professor said in an hour-long lecture as soon as the lecture's over, but that doesn't mean that you actually know what was being taught. That's just, you know, mentally able to, you know, put things together. And really the people who are in danger of thinking they know what they don't know are sometimes your people who are the brightest and who are the most communicative. Because that means I can sit down, I can listen to a sermon, I can listen to a radio broadcast, I can listen to a television show, sure, I can listen to a teacher, and then as soon as the thing is over, I can sit down and quote verbatim everything they said. I have a greater vocabulary than the teacher has. I have greater communication ability than the preacher has. And so, therefore, I talk it good, I memorize it well, I know it. No. Know it means you're living it. Like, I know about dreams, I know about visions, I know how to manifest a vision. Well, we only know that you know that by the lifestyle you live and whether you're living it in any of your dreams. Because if the dreams never come to pass, I don't care how articulate you are. I don't care how many A pluses you can make on everybody's test. Okay, and like you said, it's not about man's test anyway, it's about God's test. A lot of people making an A on God's test, on man's test, and flunking God's, a public success and a private failure. So, you know, as we started this broadcast, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, okay? So fools despise wisdom. So, you know, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. And when you apply knowledge, that's when you get results. That's when you begin to be able to produce something that's manifest here in the natural where we know that was birthed out of the wisdom of God. And so a lot of people got to be brought to that point to understand that, you know. So we have a lot of talking heads, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, you got to dream it, and then you got to do it. And, you know, that's what we were talking about on this very broadcast back in January. I have people on this broadcast that are dreamers, but they're also doers. They're also workers. And I don't know if you agree with me or not, Stephanie, but I feel like one of the biggest lies out among motivational speakers and a lot of ministers and stuff, too, is this saying we have going around in America and in the Western world that when you find your dream job, when you find what you were born to do, it'll be like you're on clouds every day. It won't even be like work. It'll just be fun. That is a lie. And so even when you find your purpose, even when you find your dream, there is a work element attached. It's not all candy and bubblegum every day. You know, to get to that platform and be able to maintain that platform, there are some things you're going to need to do that are going to cause you to have to go by the sweat of your brow and have some uncomfortable times in order to be able to maintain the ability to live in that dream. And I think a lot of times speakers are not telling people the truth, that there is going to be work even when you find your dream job. Now, Do you agree with me on that?
Well, I do, and then I also understand. I think it's probably not articulated as well as it should be, because when you find the purpose, you know, what you feel like you were created to do, and not necessarily even what you feel like you were created to do, but what you were tasked to do in this moment. For me, that she's a boss. So, yes, it is work. It is work. Don't get me wrong, it's work. But it is work that I would much rather do than go see a movie with you. I think that's the comparison, is that, oh, I don't understand how they work around the clock. I don't understand how they are so ambitious. I don't see how they can, you know, because there are people very content with, I'm going to go in, clock in. When I get off work, I'm going to clock out. And then I'm going to go home and have dinner and enjoy, you know, spend some time with my friends and family. And then I'm going to go to sleep and wake up and do it again the next day. And then every now and again during the year, I'm going to take a vacation. And there are some people that are very content with doing that. But then there are others that have purpose all over their lives. You know, we look around us in every window, air conditioner, car, program, school, light bulb. They are invented by people that a 9-to-5 was not working for them. They wanted to invent and create and make a change in the world around them. And so for them, no, it wasn't easy. It required a lot of work hours. It required investments they thought were probably other people around them probably thought was ridiculous. I've had to have the come to Jesus talk with a lot of my friends and family, too, when they say, well, you're just doing too much. No, not exactly. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I know this is the required step for me, and it requires some sacrifice. You know what I mean? And so when they make that statement, that is what they are really trying to say, is that you are so willing to chase your dream that you chase it like it's air in your body. So it's like it's not that it doesn't feel like work. It's what I choose to do. This is how I choose to spend my time. I know I'm making the right choice for my life, and it feels good. It feels good when you know that you are chasing a purpose or chasing a dream. It feels good when you know what, I have $78 in the bank, and this item that I need for my event is $75. I'm going to get it because I need it. And you make that sacrifice, and other people be like, but you only got $3 left. And you're like, I know, but, you know, I feel like the Lord is with me. You know, you make some choices that people don't understand. People don't understand. You know, I look at people that are successful today. You can listen to Steve Harvey talk about it all the time, how he was homeless and how he lived in his car. And he will bring people on that gave him a place to live, that believed in him. And there's a quote that I've seen that says, I sacrificed. Even the woman that owns TV One, she said she lived in her radio station for, I think, 2 to 3 months at one time because she was homeless, but she was chasing her dream. Sometimes you just know that what God has told you to do is the right thing to do, and you chase it with everything that you have. And so that's what I think that statement really talks about. It's not so much that it's bubble gum and candy drops, because it's not. You're going to spend a lot of nights crying over your dream, like, come on. I don't even know happening the way it's happening, because I'm doing, you know, and I will have them discussions with God, Lord, I'm doing everything you told me to do. Why is this happening like this? Mm-hmm. I do not understand. So, Adam, you know, you don't have to, you just have to trust me and keep doing what I told you to do. Don't stop doing what I told you to do, you know. And so that's why faith is so important in this quest, whether you are working in a corporate position or whether you are operating your own business or you have a nonprofit organization. God is such a he's right there. He's right there, and he is always going to encourage you, and he's always going to get you right. So if you got some issues that you need to deal with, he's going to bring those to light, and he's going to help you deal with them with all manner of grace. And so, but you trying to figure it out on your own, you might be circling around that mountain a couple times before you actually get the secret sauce. You know what I mean? But with God, instant, he's like, you're going to have to do this first. And he's going to direct it. And sometimes he does that by force, and sometimes he does that gracefully, you know, with your obedience. So, you know, I've learned it is much to be obedient to God and to do what he says, and then you still going to end up crying sometimes, even being obedient. But the season when you are crying the most and having the hardest time and seeing the biggest opposition is usually when you're in that wilderness and he's getting ready to walk you into your promised land. And this is, I'm telling you this, I'm not speaking from, you know, this is what I think, this is my idea. I'm telling you from, this is what I know. It's real. That's for real. God will get you right into the promised land.
Yes, yes. Well, hey, I just thank you for telling us the truth today and for, you know, doing a full articulation of that concept, and I wish we had more of that going around because, you know, people need to get the whole picture, the whole scoop, you know, the whole story about the lifestyle of being a dream chaser. And, you know, as Americans, you know, we're kind of born into that whole dream thing, you know, the so-called proverbial American dream, you know, and almost every American dabbles in it a little bit at some point in their life. You know, it doesn't work out for most people, but you know, but you know, that's something that we're born and bred and cut our teeth on in the United States. But it needs to be, we need to take that whole discussion to another level, just like you did today, to really break it down so that people have the reality and the full truth of what it's like and what it's going to be like and the hardships, but yet the rewards. So I just appreciate your honesty on the broadcast today. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up. This has been awesome. It will be in the archives for eternity, and I just hope people take advantage of that. Those who are not listening right now, I really hope they tell someone about this broadcast, because we definitely have a true believer on today with Miss Stephanie Moore, and getting some information, a lot of information that money came by, and if you had to buy it, you'd pay a whole lot of money for what she's just giving out today from the goodness of her heart. Hallelujah. So, hey, we're rounding up, and Stephanie, I did want to give you a chance to kind of tell us what's on the horizon. I know you spoke to me about Blush. I don't know how much of that you don't want to share at this point, but I wanted you to kind of talk a little bit about Blush and how abundance, wisdom, and hope interact. And then after that, I want you to close us out in a word of prayer. And I just want to speak to the audiences after Stephanie's prayer. You know, just wait a minute, because we're going to have our outro with a brief announcement, and then, you know, then the broadcast will be over. So, Stephanie, just go ahead and share a little bit about that, and then just take us into a word of prayer. And I just want to say right now that I appreciate you so much, and thank you for coming on, and you have been a blessing.
Oh, thank you so much. I always have new projects on the horizon. I feel like, you know, I always have something coming up. And so the devotional I'm working on right now is called Blush, You Are the Apple of My Eye. And it's about having a personal relationship with Jesus. It's a 31-day devotional focusing on the different aspects of walking with God and just, you know, allowing him to be your BFF. I think we spend our entire lives searching for love of our lives if we don't feel like we've already found them, for those that are long-term married. But everything that we desire in a mate, God is. God is. And, you know, and this I knew when I first started walking with the Lord. I said, this is everything that I've been searching for. It's everything that I've been searching for. And so, you know, I am a single woman, and people always ask me, how are you content being single? And, you know, and that's really it. I don't have to look, seek, search, or, you know, scrape, climb, trick, whatever, to try to get a relationship. I have the most outstanding relationship of them all. And when God is ready to send a mate into my life, I'm going to be ready, and that person is going to be ready. And what growing we need to do, we'll grow together in Christ. So I'm excited about that. But the book is called Blush, You Are the Apple of My Eye. And so I am really still writing the book. I did want to share part of what is in the book today. It's a short excerpt. On Facebook the other day, but it's about self-discipline and passion, and it is about chasing the dream. And so the devotional is called Passion, but it's, you know, it's scripture. It's just scripture. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And, you know, of course, I had my belief, you know, behind it, because this was the post that I made to Facebook the other day. But, and it's a scripture, it's biblical. But, you know, it's exactly what we've been talking about today. If you want to have the wisdom to succeed, you have to be disciplined, A, in developing a wonderful relationship with Christ, but B, also to get your mind right. If you want to be a doctor, you have to go to medical school. You know, you have to learn what doctors know. in order to excel at being a doctor. If you want to have a successful business, you have to understand economics. You have to understand customer service. You have to understand your trade and master your trade. And you have to know that it is a competitive market, and your clients can spend their money with anyone. Why should they spend it with you? And you should be able to articulate that why without a question in your mind. And so, and it also speaks to me about strategic prayer, about taking your requests to the Lord, making them known to God with thanksgiving, and, you know, always asking for forgiveness of your sins and things like that. So I think that the next step for me is Blush. You know, she's a Boston Grindaholics this year. We're going all over the nation, and so that does cost. And so we are praying, you know, that we are in your prayers as well, that you will pray that we can touch lives and do so in a way that is efficient, graceful, and powerfully changing lives. Our goal is to transform young people, helping them make better decisions for the rest of their lives. And so so I'm asking for your prayer on that as well. So, but that's what's next for me is the Blush book. I have my first fiction book coming out, and then we're taking the teen programs all over the nation. So and just praying that God keeps moving me, and that my relationship with him only grows in strength and in love and an even greater faith. Oh, that's scary. So that's it. So let's close in prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father God, we come before you right now just to say thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Misty Long and Devoted to Him Ministries and being champions in the faith and bringing the content that people desire in a way that is easily accessible, Lord. We thank you, God, for the work that Misty is doing on your behalf and her faith in you and everything that she's doing. God, we ask that you strengthen her and direct her path and make it straight and help her to be everything that you created her to be. Lord, we pray that we decrease as you increase, God. We pray that we can become a perfect conduit of your message and your love, God, that we are your hands and feet, your true hands and feet, God, not with our own motive or our own agenda attached to it, God, but purely in your will and in your strength, God. And, Lord, help us to be a light on a hill. And, Lord, help us to be that our good deeds shine so brightly that they glorify you, Lord, in heaven and not us. God, we just thank you. We thank you for the breath of air that we breathe. We thank you for our health. We thank you for those that stand with us, God. We can't do anything by ourselves. So, Lord, we thank you for those that volunteer. We thank you for those that bless us. We thank you, Lord, for those that are praying for us. We thank you for every mentor that we've had in our lives, business and Christian mentors, God. We thank you for directing our path, for being strategic with our learning so that we can walk in the purpose that you created us for. And God, as we journey on, God, we pray that you just espouse wisdom, abundance, supernatural wisdom and discernment upon us, that we might make choices that are pleasing in your sight, God, that we might be your hands and feet, God. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our best friend. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for fearfully making us fit, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are the head and that we're not the tail, that we are above and that we're not beneath. God, we thank you for every promise, for every gift. We thank you for your anointing. All these things we pray, God, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you all the praise in the mighty and magnificent name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we have our closing announcements, and God bless everyone. Until our next broadcast, we're grateful for you. Let us continue in prayer and in the wisdom of God and continue to share the glorious message of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Soaring with Eagles in Leadership and Excellence with your host, Misty Long, Director of Devoted to Him Ministries. Please visit our website, devotedtohim.org, and join us on Facebook at Devoted to Him Global Ministries. Join us next time on Soaring with the Eagles in Leadership and Excellence.